In Matthew 16, the Pharisees are asking for a sign, and he rebukes them and basically says, you read what's in the sky, but, you know, you don't recognize the times. There's something about recognizing the times which I think is really, really interesting. I think, you know, times and seasons can change, which have implications on the people who are in those times and seasons. And I think times in the heavens can change, which has implications for the people who are on the earth. The example I'd like to give is Moses. You know, or is it Joshua? They takes the people across the River Jordan. For 40 years before then, they had lived on God's provision. Amazing, amazing supernatural provision where you're thinking, you know, God is with us. You know, we're getting supernatural manna from heaven every single day. We're being led by fire. We're being led by a cloud. Yet they cross the river and suddenly all of that goes. And they have to fend for themselves. They have to create their own income, their own economy. Have to learn to till the land and, you know, create farms and do that. Because the times change. As they crossed over, something in the heaven shifted. It wasn't that God wasn't with them, but it was just a new season. And I really believe, as we kind of entered into this new academic year, September, I feel like we're in a new time. Something just is in me. And to me, I just think, it just feels like we're in a new day. As we kind of hit September, I thought, something's different. And a couple of weeks ago, I just felt prompted to listen to a talk by a friend of mine who kind of is really into kind of the supernatural and trying to understand it all. And I listened to a talk on angels that he did. And I just thought, that's really, really interesting. I haven't thought about angels for ages or anything like that. I'm kind of aware that they're there, but don't really at the moment know kind of what to do with them. I'm kind of like, yeah, great, angels. You know, I believe in you, but I don't particularly talk to angels or anything like that. I don't see angels. I'd love to. But I was just kind of thinking about angels. And then the next day, I thought, you know what? There's something in that. There's more to operate in that area. So I did this big Bible study on angels, just like looking at what Scripture says about angels and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, good stuff, you know. And then the afternoon, I had a meeting with Pete to talk about some of the community needs assessment stuff that we're going to talk a little bit about in a second. And Pete goes, Dave, something's really weird has happened to me this morning. I was having my usual prayer time with the Lord, and I saw this vision of all these angels coming into Marlow. They're descending on Marlow in these cohorts. He's like, I'm not an angel guy. It's not the kind of thing that I'd ever share with the church, but I feel comfortable to share it with you. So now I'm telling everyone. But so you know, he shares this and shared how he didn't see them coming to to war on the plains, but going to every single street, and they're going in little groups on the street. And that morning, I was praying, and I saw this vision of angels in my house, and you know, stuff like that. And then last week in the worship, Chris was going to share this, but we ran out of time. She came up to me earlier in the week, and Chris went, we hadn't talked about this or shared it. And Chris went, Dave, in the worship last week, I just got this real sense of just angels descending on Marlow. And that wherever there was worship, all across the town, where in the houses, on the streets, there was just angels coming. And there's something about angels is that, throughout Scripture, angelic presence is there, like at kind of key moments. So either at the start of something or at the end of something. So, you know, the angels are there at Jesus' birth. They're there at the ascension. They're there when he raises from the dead. They're just there at kind of key moments. So I don't know, I just feel like amongst all of that, I don't really know what it means, but to me, it's kind of piece a few things together, and I just feel like, you know, there's something in this. It feels like a new season, a new day.
Can I just say something?
Yeah, go for it.
Since I've been at the school, I drive through Marlow every morning, and I've been praying for the whole town to be overtaken by angels.
Come on, see, that's it.
And my prayer is, can they be on the houses, in the trees, in the pubs, in the schools, in the parks, in the alleys, in the shops? And you say that's
making all really weird. Yeah, that's brilliant. And, you know, he reveals things to his servants, the prophets, first. And, you know, he doesn't just speak to the ones and twos. He often shouts with the megaphone. So there's kind of churches or people, and they're like, God's saying this to me, and we're the only ones who've God's spoken this to. And actually you find out that people are kind of thinking the same thing all over the place. Evelyn?
It says in Hebrews, angels are ministering spirits sent to help those who are being saved.
That's it. Come on. Come on. It's a new day. So, yeah, help us, Papa. Just help us. You just want to shine. You want to be amazing. Amen. So, I'd like to give you an update on Pepper, the rabbit. So last week I shared about how Chloe and I are caring for a rabbit at the moment. A colleague of Chloe's owns a rabbit, and this rabbit is called Pepper. We were talking about the presence of God, and I kind of made the tenuous link of God's relationship to humanity being like my relationship with Pepper. And I am really loving towards Pepper. I just want to care for her, stroke her. And Pepper, like many of humanity, is terrified of me. And thinks that I am scary and going to punish her. And every time I come near to pick her up, she growls and hisses and runs away. So I just think, you know, that was a great metaphor. But the metaphor has moved on, guys. I, being very godlike in my nature, have basically just modelled to Pepper. Not just modelled, I've done it. I've been to Pepper consistently. And unconditionally loving. And I haven't forced myself upon her in any way. And slowly, Pepper has warmed to me throughout the week. And guys, we are now at the stage where I lie on the sofa and she will jump up onto the sofa, jump onto my chest and sniff my face. And it's really tickly and I laugh and have to push her away. Which is fantastic. I think the metaphor has moved on. It is what God is like with humanity. Love wins. Consistent, unconditional love always wins. Come on. Last week, I encouraged people in the congregation to get a hold of this book. I've bought 20 copies. I've still got about 10 left, I think. So please buy some. I just think it's absolutely fantastic, but we're looking at the topic of dwell and, you know, hosting the presence of God. And Bill just has, I don't know, just crafted that, but amazing theology, amazing paradigm thinking and helpful hints and tips and all that kind of stuff in that book. It's really, really helpful. It's a heavy one, so I find that I'll read a page and that'll be it for the day. And I just kind of need to meditate on that page and just think, whoa, what are the implications of that? And just mull on it. But I'd really, they're £10, come and grab a copy. Yeah. Tim, can we have the declarations? So God, it says in Romans that God speaks things that are not as they are. And it says that according to your faith, Jesus says, according to your faith, so it will be measured to you. So there's a kind of a connection between, we walk in with our faith, but how do we get faith? It says in Hebrews that faith comes by hearing. So this is why we speak it out, so that we actually hear it, so we get faith, so we walk in it. Okay? So, should we declare these things? Number one. I'm going to new levels of intimacy. That's it. Sorry, I read it wrong. Next. We are a church known for the manifest presence of God. Come on. God's presence is released in everything I do. Like David, I am a man after God's own heart. Good stuff. Let's keep speaking it out. This term, just keep speaking it out. Keep hearing it. Keep getting faith. Go deeper. This morning, I'm going to tell you guys about some changes which are going to happen. And I kind of feel, Jeff said something quite helpful, which I'd like us to bear in mind this morning. He said to me, Dave, whenever anyone talks, it's psychologically proven that as soon as change is mentioned, people's first reaction is negative. Because they're like, whoa, and it's negative. And then they kind of start to come around to things. So I'd like to just say that right now. Just be aware of that. The second thing I'd like to say is we all basically have a love switch, and it can either be on or off. And as a proposed change is, I'd like to just encourage you all to just keep your love switched on towards me. You know, so we're a family on a mission. I said at the beginning of the year that I think it's really, really important for us to do the mission side of family on a mission. You know, I think the depth of relationships in many of the relationships in the room is huge. This kind of safety which is here because of just the years of just journeying together, you know, through the hard times, through the great times, is really, really strong. I think, you know, we are a strong family unit. But actually, like, the challenge for us is to become really, really effective in mission in the town. You know, there's a couple of questions which haunt me, and one of them is, if we cease to exist, would the town miss us? And I think, you know, there are parts of the town that would miss us. So, you know, Beryl, I would say that if we cease to exist, that the River Life, you know, mums would miss us. And just right now, I'd love it if Beryl and, you know, the other ladies who are on the River Life team would stand, because I'd just love to just honour you guys. Yeah. Come on, get up. You know, you've done. You can sit down. You guys have done absolutely amazing. You know, you've represented us as a church so well for so many years, and I just want to just thank you, just on behalf of all of us, just for just being a light there, just so consistently for such a long time. You guys have done amazingly. I think we would be missed. You know, if we stopped Wycombe. You know, I think, guys, you're doing a fantastic job there. I think we'd be missed, you know, with probably some of the young people, you know, would miss what we're doing with youth clubs two nights a week. I think, guys, you're doing a fantastic job. I think it's great that we're getting that John and the other guys have got the debt advice service up and running, and they're slowly starting to get clients, which is great. But there's so much more. You know, it's a fraction. I just think, you know, if we cease to exist, would the town miss us? And I just think no is the answer at the moment. Maybe for holiday week. But apart from that, I just think, you know, we've got to be out there. We've got to be loved by the town, a real blessing to the town. Because the second thing which is on my heart is that, this was not just River Church, but it is for us as well, is that, you know, if someone is in trouble, would they think River Church? If someone's really in need, they had a marriage problem, financial problem, problem with their kids, problem with their health, would they think, I need to speak to those guys at River Church? Or even, I need to speak to the church? You know, and for me, that is the answer of that. I want to, you know, my work is to help us and the other churches in Marlow change the answer to that. That's my heart, guys. And then the other thing I kind of just touched on last week was, you know, how do we keep a movement moving? And it's not just a problem for us, it's a problem for Christendom in the UK. You know, all across the thing, you know, God, he moves in every generation. And this, you know, God moved in River Church. When River Church was born, it was born as part of a movement, the new church networks. But 30 years on, it's like, okay, what now do we do? How do we keep this thing going? How do we keep moving? And for me, that is another thing which is constantly on my heart, is how do we keep this thing going forward? How can we be effective? How can we not stay stuck in a rut and just kind of, we get easily consumed by doing great things, you know, great things together, but actually you can so easily just become just insular and just ineffective. So, you know, so those are some of the things which kind of are on my heart to really, I suppose, address. In addressing those, firstly, reaching out to the community. The first thing we thought to do at the beginning of 2013, which I talked briefly about last term, is a needs assessment of the entire community, and Pete Hopkinson is heading that up for us. So, Pete, do you want to share a bit about that?
Thank you. Dave's asked me just to give you a bit of a feeling for where my vision is, and it's pretty similar to between the two of us, actually, and the leadership team. But actually, there's quite a lot to say. So what I really want to try and communicate just now in the sort of 4 minutes I've got is just to communicate what my vision is. And not necessarily all the details of what's happening. I think that'll come out over a period of time. But what I'd really like you to do, actually, is just a little bit of work. I'm not going to make you talk to each other, so you can just sit and do this to yourself. But I'd like you to use your imagination. And I'd like you to, this is a bit of a strange thing to ask a bunch of Christians to do in church, but I'd like to imagine that you're not a Christian. Just think about what that actually means, to not have a relationship with God, not to have fellowship with fellow Christian people. And then imagine some crisis befalling your family or a loved one. Somebody's been diagnosed with cancer. Very stressed at work, losing their job. Got a teenage child that is going AWOL and is causing huge anguish in the family. Just lost your job, no money. Imagine that happening to you when you have no relationship with a God that you know that loves you. Imagine when you don't have a group of friends that you can turn to that will pray with you and support you and help you and love you through all of that. Just want to imagine what that must be like. Now, I guess some of you have been Christians since you were a bit like me. Actually, I was first gave my Lord to life to the Lord when I was 7. So it's quite hard to remember what it was like. But I then did have a period when I turned my back on Jesus and can remember what it was like, actually, to not have that sort of support and the love of God. And just look around us now. We're all here with our friends. We've been praising God. We're sat in this room on a Sunday morning in Marlow. I can absolutely guarantee you there is at least one house in Marlow now, not sometime in the future, now, where there is somebody behind their front door going through some sort of rubbish, like I've just described, and they're doing it on their own. And they have no idea where to go to get help. My vision is that, as David has alluded, that in the future, and it's going to take a period of time, but in the future, that person, when they're behind their front door, isolated and alone, that they will know that they must come and talk to a Christian in Marlow. Doesn't have to be River Church, doesn't have to be Marlow Christian Fellowship, any church, any Christian, that they know that this is a place they must come to get help. And that is my vision for what we're doing in the community. So it's not having sort of a service to help the old people or River Life to help, all of which are great things, but it is much deeper and more grass-rooted than that. It is that the churches in Marlow are so much in part of the community that that's where people will turn when they need help. So that's really my vision for it. We're doing some various things to achieve that. We're doing a needs audit. We're going around talking to all the stakeholders in Marlow to what they think are the problems. And we want to make sure that we're aligned with what we're doing for people, that there are actually real problems that we're trying to solve, not the problems that we think are problems. We're also going to go around and ask the people on the street a couple of very simple questions. You know, what is it that hurts you the most? What is it that's not happening in Marlow? Then maybe, if appropriate, can we pray for you about your problem? But the third question is sort of an optional one. We want to find out what it is that's going on that is causing trouble for people in Marlow. So this is a bit of a work in progress. The thing that I would ask you to do specifically now is two things. One is watch this space and start to think about what I've just said and how do we respond to that. But then the other thing that you're going to be asked to do in your small groups is to do a series of six, isn't it? Six, sit in your small groups when you get together on a Thursday or a Wednesday, whenever it is you get together. We're going to ask you in the next season to go through these. And this is a series of, it's thought-provoking, it's a bit of teaching, it's a, you know, Elaine Storkey and some other great people giving us some of their views about things. But it's all focused around how we respond in a Christian way to our community and the needs of the community. And then I think I'm supposed to be coming back here and talking about this a bit more in November. Yeah, whenever I'm done. It's quite a big job, and I really appreciate you all to pray about it, because it's quite a big thing. We're not trying to do just a good works. I don't want to be doing good works. I want to change the heart of Christians in Marlow. And the exciting thing is that I'm actually doing this on the behalf of all the churches in Marlow. So it's not just a River Church initiative. All the leadership are behind it. So it's very exciting, but it's a big thing. But watch this space.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Pete, and you're doing a great job. That is going to take us down a trajectory of doing missional projects, basically, because it's not just River Church doing it, as Pete said, he's doing it on behalf of all the churches in Marlow. What's going to happen is we're going to speak to all the key stakeholders and also the community on a grassroots level, and out of that will come some real needs, whether it be, you know, a food bank or transport for the elderly, or, you know, there's a, you know, street pastors because there's problems in the evenings or whatever. A list, you know, will come out of that of real needs, and relationships will be built with people in the community, with the other churches and with the stakeholders in the community. And together, it won't just be the churches going, right, let's do this. It'll be the churches alongside the community, alongside with various groups going, let's do this together. And you know, stuff is going to come out of this, which will basically give the Christians in Marlow more and more opportunities to answer the question, which will come out of this, which will be, so why are you doing this? And it will give the Christians, Marlo, way, way more opportunities to go, hey, you know, this thing, can I just pray for you about that? Or, you know, we're doing this as part of a church initiative. Do you want to come to, you know, do you want to come to church with us on Sunday morning? It will provide a lot more opportunities for those kind of conversations to be had in a lot of kind of safer ways all over the town. So that is kind of the trajectory which that is going, and I'm really excited about that. Good stuff. So the second thing is, as a church, we want to use Marlow Youth and Community Centre more and start engaging the community more. So what we'd like to do is we want to, as a leadership, we want to commit to doing basically two community events per term there, whether it's like a fireworks night or a Christmas thing, or like in the summer you could have fun days with bouncy castles and barbecues or football tournaments or whatever. But that's basically what we're going to kind of commit to as a church for now. We're doing two community events there a term, which I think sounds fun. Does that sound all right? Cool. Next year, I'm basically going to launch a festival, which is probably going to be called Love Marlow. But I'm not going to give too many details of that right now, but basically, again, that'll be with the community, churches working together. It's in order to replace Hope in the Park, which is okay, but I didn't think it was that, to be honest, I personally didn't feel it was very effective. But we're going to do a kind of a town-wide festival, kids stuff, youth stuff, music, gigs, gardening for people, the vulnerable, people on the streets doing treasure hunting, all that kind of stuff. So watch out for that. We'll see. So I'm quite excited about that. So that's kind of community stuff. That's kind of, you know, outreachy type things. An update on the youth congregation, Churches Together Youth Congregation, that is called Activate, and that will be launching in the next few weeks. Stuart Grenier is from All Saints Church is launching that, and it's going to be basically all the Christian youth in Marlow gathering together on Sunday evenings and basically doing church together. I'm really excited about that. And it'll be somewhere where because a lot of the Christians in Marlow at the moment do the youth work. So we do youth work at Marlow Youth Community Centre, MCF do youth work, the guys at All Saints have youth work at the Crypt. And loads of the Christians are doing, you know, open youth club type stuff. But the leap from youth club to Sunday morning church is way too big for all those young people. So this is kind of like a nice, it's where they go, if that makes sense. So I'm excited about that. I think that'd be cool. We are Corey Moody. Many of you won't know who he is yet. He's the eldest son of Ian and Sabina Moody. Will be kind of joining us as a congregation for the next few years. And he's basically grown up with kind of Heidi and Roland Baker out in Mozambique, and has done 2 years out over in Bethel doing the supernatural school there, doing stuff with the healing rooms. He's going to join the Marlow leadership team as an emerging leader. He's 21 years old, and he's out in New Zealand at the moment getting his visa. But basically him and Jean Beryl, are you here, Jean? Can't see you. The wonderful Jean Beryl. Are basically going to be leading the healing rooms, which we're going to look to launch this term. There'll be, if you want to volunteer for the healing rooms, there'll be kind of a training conference which we're going to go to in October. And again, that's going to be resourced by the Christians from across the churches. All this stuff we can't resource by ourselves, but when we look to kind of, you know, widen the net, actually we can start to resource a lot more, which I find really exciting. So the healing rooms is starting. So I know there's a lot, guys. Hang in there. As I said last week, Kerry's doing the dwell evenings. So, you know, evenings which will fuel us, getting in the presence of God and just going really, really deep and encountering him. And then the last two things, and the last one will be the shocking thing, so brace yourselves. There are, I think, church. I don't want to build a mega church. Just say right now, I don't want to build a congregation either way. Where we have to find a venue where we can have 1,000 people come to one service. For me, I'm really inspired by the early church model, which is, you know, just church all over the place. Church in what would that look like in Marlow? It would be church in the football club, church in the pub, church at the youth centre, church in Marlow Bottom, church in people's houses, churches in the churches, multiple services, and just messy all over the place. It has to be. Like, even though what we have now is great, because, you know, it is good, for me, it's still not viral enough. Like, the church is supposed to kind of carry a punch to it, and this needs to be something that spreads, and that is a problem that we have with the model of church that we have in the West. And so, for me, I just want to go on a journey of looking at, like, what kind of expressions of church can actually really connect with people in the town? Because, you know, there is missional stuff which will make us more relevant, but I think there's still a lot of people just kind of, they just see us as a bunch of nutters. And they're like, I just don't get that. I don't connect with that. So for me, I want to go on a journey of looking at fresh expressions of church and planting churches and all that kind of stuff. And two things. The first is, as a team, we've kind of like decided that in 2014, we'd love to plant some kind of fresh expression of church at Marlow Youth and Community Centre, which is looking to do church in a way which connects with the community and just goes on a creative journey of going, what could this look like and how would this, and just see what happens. And so this term, we want to put together a team who can, you know, commit to that and commit to leading it and just giving it a go. You know, when missionaries go out to a country to contextualize the gospel and to, you know, to do their thing, they just go, well, let's try stuff. And some stuff doesn't work. And they go, okay, cool. Well, let's try something else. And it doesn't work. And then they try something else. And, you know, that is what the church in the West needs to do, and that is what the church Christendom in England needs to do, because we've gone, let's try this. Why is no one coming? So, yeah, I think to me, it's kind of going on this journey of what does it look like to take church to the people, to take Christianity to the people. And I don't know the answer to that. I just know that it's going to be messy and it'll be interesting. And it's about raising up leaders and more people in ministry and all of that kind of stuff. So for me, that's one of the things we want to go for. And part of that is not really a church, but my brother, Matt Jones, Emma Davenport, and also my housemate who lives in Maidenhead, Nick Trantum, are basically going to start, it's not really a church, but a seekers group, which would be on Sunday nights at the pub. I chat to my hairdresser, this guy called Tom, and he's a big guy, got tattoos all down his arm, and I say, Tom, you know, we always talk about God, because he's really interesting. I'm like, you know, you should come to church. He's like, no, it's not my thing. I'm not interested in that. I'm getting my hair cut on Wednesday, actually. I'm going to invite you to the Alpha course. But I said to him, Tom, do you want to come to church? He goes, no, it's not my thing. I go, what about church in the pub? You know, would you go to a group in the pub whereby you can just ask any question, discuss faith? And he said, yeah, I'd be well up for that. Count me in. Just let me know when it's starting. And I spoke to a couple of guys at Dan and Sim's wedding, and they were like, yeah, well up for that. That sounds really good. I'd be really interested in that. So these guys are going to be looking at like starting that, you know, pretty soon. So yeah. That's going to be cool. And that'll kind of be kind of the student age, you know, like 18, obviously, no younger, you know, in 20s, you know, late to late 20s. And just kind of that is a key age where we really need to re-engage as a church, guys, because that's a key age where you lose people. And so we need to find ways to actually really kind of make it work for those guys. So go for it. And the last one is we're going to move. So that's fine. I mean, I think kind of general the feel is that people are kind of a bit sick of being in here. I am. But we're going to move to the URC, but it will mean a, you know, significant change for us as a congregation, because it will mean that we have to move our Sunday meeting time. Before I tell you what time we're going to meet, I'd like to really lay out why we're going to do this. For me, I think, you know, I wasn't an adult when the church moved from Court Gardens up to Spinfield. I was kind of a teenager. I wasn't really connected into the congregation. And I think the reasons why that happened were really great reasons. I think that, you know, it was expensive. It was an absolute nightmare for kids' work and all that kind of stuff. But there was something about being there, from just the feel of it when I used to be there as a kid into the, where it is kind of now, that's changed in that time. Something from being in a public location and a really great location to kind of being hidden away in a school, the feel of things, you know, shifted. And it was all great, you know, reasons why it happened. But for me, I think it's really, really important that we find a great public location which works for us. as a church. So for me, that is the main thing. And you think, okay, what are the best building? You know, what are the great public buildings in the town? I mean, All Saints clearly have the best building, and you just think, well, yeah. The thing is, they've got like 20 services a day, so we can't fit in. But you just think, what other locations could work for us? And you know, this, the URC Church by Platt's Garage, is one of those. It is a great public location. You know, Carl Wills, the last few times he's come through, you know, I've chatted to him before and afterwards. I was saying, Carl, what's your feeling for the church? Where should I be taking the congregation? What do you think we need to work on? And he said every time, you need to get out of Holy Trinity. You need to get out of this place. You need to get a good public location. You know, he travels around all the time. That's the thing he said every single time. And for me, I think that is kind of the primary reason. The second reason is, for me, I'm kind of thinking, and I think we should all be thinking this, guys, what are we building for our children's children? You know, we don't think long term, but I think we should think long term. Long term thinking is, okay, we've planned Christmas and it's September, which we haven't done. We've got some ideas. But, you know, we don't think long term. You know, Billy Kennedy's just taken over some schools in Southampton alongside Oasis, and they sign a contract with the government for 100 years. So I think there's a shift in thinking which needs to happen. And for me, there's the opportunity here for us to go on a journey of looking at this being a base for us, a longer-term base. Richard, the guy from the URC, he came and spoke. He's the minister there. We've had conversations with him along, you know, of course, along the way. And I'm just saying, I said to him, Richard, at any point, I don't want us to be dominating. I don't want you to feel like, you know, we're the big church coming in and making, you know, forcing you guys into decisions. I want us to be amazing tenants. I want us to be a real blessing to you, really honouring to you. You know, and he said, whoa, that's great, but stop right there. I don't want you to feel like tenants. I want this to be like two families sharing a home, and we just work stuff out together. And he's basically the situation there is that there is a building, a great building that's built for purpose, is built for worship by our forefathers and foremothers who, you know, paid for it and bled for it and whatever. And they've got a congregation of about 30 people, 10 of whom are under the age of 60. And we're here with a kind of a thriving congregation with no building, and so it kind of makes sense. Well, let's help one another out. So for me, that is kind of, you know, and there's an opportunity to go on a journey of looking at, you know, what could this look like? Could we be kind of major stakeholders long-term, 10, 15, 20 years' time in this building, the URC, and also in Marlow Youth and Community Centre? That puts us in a really great, strong position and a public position in the town. I think those are some of the main reasons, really. I think that they're significant reasons. What does this mean? It means that basically there's the opportunity of integrating PA systems, which means that for our fantastic guys who have hauled PA for the last 20 years, we'll no longer need to do big old setup on Sundays. You know, and that is huge. And guys, let's do it. Stand up, everyone who's done PA for the last however long. Andrew, Chris. Guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You've done amazing. So we integrate PA systems. There's scope for us to have office space there and use of it midweek. Obviously there's amazing footfall. When we were looking at moving buildings, I was talking to Paul Derriads about, you know, could we go to kind of a warehouse in one of the industrial estates? And like the costs were like crazy money, like 80 grand a year running costs. And you know, again, it's hidden away, whereas this, you could have signage up and it's so much footfall with public. It's cheaper, and that's always a benefit. It's cheaper than this place. So those are kind of, for those reasons, that's why it kind of just feels like it's worth kind of giving it a go. So what does this mean for us? Basically, from November to January, we're going to trial it. So we're going to go, let's meet there and let's see how it feels. Because for all those reasons that I've just laid out, we kind of think, yeah, that makes sense. We actually might get there and think, oh, this isn't really us. It feels weird or whatever. That might be the case. It might be that, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just doesn't work out. So throughout the whole time, really looking to engage everyone in dialogue and going, guys, is this working for you? Is this not working for you? What are feelings? And we can just get to the end of January and we'll review it And if we don't want to stay there, then we can move. Because nothing is fixed at the moment. This is just something which we're exploring. However, so here's the crunch thing. They as a congregation, their leadership were happy to move their Sunday morning meetings. It's like kind of a 2 hours either way. But they have a voting system, and their congregation weren't prepared to move from Sunday mornings. So this does mean that if we're to trial this place and find it like ourselves in this place as a new home, then it means that on our Sunday morning gatherings will stop being Sunday morning gatherings and they'll become Sunday afternoon gatherings. And so what we're proposing is that the trial from November to January is a trial of meeting from 4:30 p.m. till 6 o'clock p.m. And that will be the new meeting time. So, you know, and that I appreciate that is kind of, that will have a Marmite effect. And some people go, I hate this, I'm leaving the church. And other people go, yay, fantastic, this is brilliant. I mean, I just want to add a couple of things in to the timing thing. The first is, I was talking about there being a problem for UK Christendom. I think there's a problem for Christendom in Marlow in that the town prides itself on being a sporting town. And when I was at Lighthouse, I did like a little survey and I asked loads and loads of kids. I went, what do you do on Sunday mornings? Football. What do you do on Sunday mornings? Rugby. What do you do on Sunday mornings? I go rowing. What do you do on Sunday mornings? I do hockey. You know, and like all the people in the town, or not all of them, a lot of people are doing sports on Sunday mornings, and all the churches in the town are offering Sunday morning services. And that, guys, is a problem. Yeah. It's a real problem. It's a problem because it means that our Christian guys cannot join those clubs and go, let's build relationships. I want to join Marlow Kayak Club. Oh, I can't. They meet on Sunday mornings. You know, we build relationships and we go, hey, God, you want to come to an Alpha course? You want to come to church? You know, you can disciple your friends at those. And it also means that, and this has been a problem over the years, it's a problem for a whole bunch of my peers who no longer go to church anymore, that we make our children choose between sports or church. But no one's like had the guts to change it. So, because everyone's at church and meets on Sundays. So, so do you do Sunday evening sport?
I'm with them at 6, what about adults?
Sorry, mate. So, for me, like those are two kind of those are two issues, guys. And I know I've kind of said it quite. Oh well, it's like this. I don't mean it in that kind of way. But I just want to say that, you know, again, this isn't set in stone. But it just feels like, you know, that is a time which could work because it's not too much. It's not too intruding on people's Sunday afternoons. It's not intruding on some people's Sunday evenings. And for people who have young children, we've kind of had discussions with a few parents looking at, okay, so if kind of 4:30 is kids' tea time, you know, could like parents of under fives do kind of a kids' tea rota where all like kind of the kids eat together? And you know, there are ways which we can kind of explore solving some of the problems which arise. So that's about it really, guys. That's kind of where we're going sorry I've run over. That's where we're going. You know, I think Keith and I are going to do a little tour of the small groups. So if anyone wants to ask kind of more questions, or you know, if you want to meet up with me, I'm more than happy to just meet up with whoever wants to and just, you know, have a chat about things and hear, you know, what difficulties you know, could arise. But I really do feel like, you know, this is an opportunity which we have to explore. And like I say, if it doesn't work, you know, we can go somewhere else, go back to Sunday mornings. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, this is one of those, I think God's just said something, so I think it's important. Dave set out for us, he hasn't asked me to do this, okay. Dave just set out for us what I think is a great vision. It isn't just about, how do I put this, it isn't just a spiritual vision, it's something that's very practical that we can all get involved in, So please don't fixate on the time of our meetings. In one sense, that's the smallest bit of what Dave's just said. But having talked to Dave and some of the other leaders, this has obviously been a journey for them of how they've got to this point now. And there's been a lot of heartache in that journey. Will people come with us? Won't they come with us? We know people don't like change, etc., etc. So for the benefit of the leadership team, if you feel that you could get behind what Dave's just said, either one bit of it or all of it, would you mind just standing up? Thank you very much indeed, because that's a real encouragement to them. Brilliant. Thank you. Please sit down.
Thanks. That's great. I was just going to say the same thing, actually, but slightly more. I was going to say, it'd be really great now if, Dave, you stay here. We haven't got time for any more worship and praise, but Kerry, that was really brilliant earlier. Thank you so much. But let's just all get up, because I forgot to do the collection. So I'm going to leave the collection here at the front and Dave here at the front. So let's finish by just all really gathering around Dave and just come forward. Don't be scared. I'm not going to trick anybody. Let's just gather around him. And I'm going to pick somebody, Ali, and ask her to pray for Dave and for the vision he's described. So do come in, do draw around, don't be scared.
Lord, we thank you so much for Dave. Lord, we thank you for what he shared so wonderfully today with us. Lord, it's a busy, busy schedule, so we ask for your protection over Dave. Lord, we ask that you keep him strong. We ask that you keep his vision close within your heart and that he speaks your vision, the word you want him to speak. Lord, thank you. And please continue to pour out his love on you and protect him, his family, and the leadership team. Lord, give us all courage to do the things that God has placed on our heart, to join Dave and the team in this vision. Give us the time and the courage to get involved. Thank you, Lord. Amen.